Hello, everyone. So this is the self-love workshop. So if you haven't printed this, I highly recommend you do it. In this book, you are going to have 30 days of journal prompts that are so good. So a lot of you come to me and you say, well, I'm not a good journaler. I have a terrible relationship with myself. I have all this crazy thinking going on and I don't know what to do about it. This will teach you what to do about it. This is what this whole month is about. It is about self-confidence, self-love, how to look at your body, all the things. The only way that you ever get good at controlling the conversation you have in your brain, guys, the first step is you always have to know, like, what is the conversation going on in your brain? You cannot figure it out if you don't know what's happening. And a lot of you turn that part off. Like, well, if I just don't know, like, I don't want to know. It's going to be so bad. Guys, there's nothing so bad in there that it's going to cripple you. Let me just tell you, whatever's happening in your brain, whether you want to acknowledge it and see it, doesn't matter. What's happening in there is causing all the results you have right now. Whatever you weigh, whatever you eat, all that kind of stuff, it is all being generated by those thoughts anyway. So I always think, well, if I know that if I change some of these thoughts, or if I get aware of some of these thoughts and I start understanding how to practice new ones and stuff, that is way better than sitting around pretending as if I don't think about it, then somehow I'm better off. No, you're not better off. You're never better off not knowing what's going on in your brain. And this is something, before we start the video, I just want to address. So many of you have this terrible, like, guys, this is such a terrible poisonous thought that you have. If I don't know, somehow I'll be safer. The only thing that ever happens, ever, is you have sentences that go through your brain, and when that sentences runs across your brain, like, think about it as like a scroll on the news. All day long, you've got these little scrolls just going through your brain. Each one of them has a feeling attached to it. That is literally all that's going on. All I want you to do is turn on the TV and start reading the scroll. You do not have, like, there's never going to be anything in there that's going to take you further down the road. You're not going to be like, oh my God, I turned on my sentences and this is terrible. That's just judgment. I can teach you how to not judge your thoughts. But what I can't teach you is how to have a better life unless you know, if you don't know what you're thinking. That is what most of you have done all of your lives. You have started diets thinking the diet was going to fix you. The diet was going to create happiness. The diet was going to do all these things. All a diet does is tell you what to eat. It doesn't drive your thoughts. It doesn't drive your thinking. You have to do that. And the first step in knowing where to go, it's always being aware of what you're thinking. So this course with all of its journal prompts, it's going to walk you through all kinds of, like, let's look at day one. What do I think about myself? What is my general opinion of me? What do I think about how I show up in the world? How I talk? What I say or what I don't say? What do I think about my past? What do I think about my future? Guys, like, seriously, all I want you to do is start being really, like, just investigative. And I want you to be really curious about the things you think about. And for this entire month, I just want you to be open-minded to, I want to see it all so that I can learn how to start understanding what I think so I can have different results in my life. All right. So here's how we're doing it tonight. If you have questions, you are going to put them in the Q&A for me, and I will be answering them at the tail end. I have an hour-long workshop video that we're fixing to watch together. So I will not be on the screen, and I will not be in the chat. The chat is for you guys to talk to yourselves. The Q&A, like, if something comes up and you're like, oh, I really want to ask that question, it has to be about self-love, has to be about this workshop. It's not about the hunger scale tonight. We have Q&As for you in Facebook and all over the place, all over the whole PNP universe for you to do all of that. Tonight is about the relationship with yourself. So I want everyone focused on that. I want you all to sit there and think, like, tonight, like, I'm setting all the other bullshit aside and I'm working on me. That's what we're doing. I want you taking notes, like, as if your relationship depends on it. That means, like, you're going to be a nerd like me. This was some of the pot list. Wait a minute. Wrong book. Oh, no. My other notebook. Oh, my God. If y'all saw my desk. Three notebooks here, a workbook, another book, and then plus those. Like, I am in self-development, like, kingdom right now. This was a podcast I listened to today. These are the notes I took while I listened to a podcast. So I want you doing that. I want you in the practice of listening, taking notes, and disseminating the information for yourself. And then if you didn't print the workbook, no big deal. You still just watch, you watch this. It's not going to be like make or break. Oh my God, I don't have my workbook. Does not matter. This is just a supplement. It's got your journal prompts and stuff in there. And it's got some notes in there about what I'm teaching you in the video. Okay. Let me get the video going and we will get started. Welcome to the Self-Love course. I am so thrilled to be able to give you this bonus course. Self-love is one of those concepts that I know so many of us have struggled with in our life. Some of you are just looking to have a better relationship with yourself, and some of you really need to up-level the relationship you have with yourself. So this course is all about figuring out that relationship, how to be more confident, how to have self-confidence, how to raise your self-esteem, and how to change that narrative you've got going on in your brain at all times. We're going to really address that inner critic and turning it into your inner champion. So why self-love? When I'm thinking about one of the things that changed most for me when it comes to weight loss, the thing that I know really helped me besides just making small changes was that over the course of my weight loss, I really worked on how I talked to myself. When I look back, I had a pretty shitty inner conversation. I look at journals and I read my diaries from when I was a kid, and I just didn't like myself. I wish I did, but for some reason, the liking yourself lesson somehow didn't fall upon me. So when I was losing my weight, there would be times when I would catch myself beating myself up over things or thinking negatively. And it was so apparent to me, like, oh my God, I can't keep thinking like this. This is why I've always been eating. And I also was making positive changes in my life, and I was sick and freaking tired of not giving myself some credit. I started noticing that when I gave myself credit for the things I was doing, I would feel better. And when I would feel better, I would eat better and I would challenge myself more. So that's why I picked this program. This is one of the things that I feel very honored to be able to teach the tribe, because I never wanted to just help women lose weight. I've always wanted you to help you lose your weight so that you can feel amazing. I just remember when I lost my weight, that was one of the things that I treasured more than anything. And I knew that when I decided to help others do the same, it wasn't that I wanted to get their weight off. I wanted them to feel as good as I did. And it's, you know, it's all part of weight loss. You have to learn how to like yourself on the way down in order to like yourself once you get there. So let me tell you a little bit about how the course works. First, you're going to watch this workshop video and you're going to take notes like your future self is depending on you. And then I want you to go to the website and make sure you have the workbook. There's a great workbook that goes along with this course. All of my speaker notes are in there, and you have 31 days of journal prompts. So you can use your thought download and journal pages in your PMP planner, and then you can just answer the questions each day. I do suggest you go in order, but if you want to skip around, it's fine. And then each week, I want you to watch the Q&A video, the member makeover, and the tribe success talks. We have every single week a video for you. So week one, when you're doing this workshop, you'll do this course video that you're watching now. Week two, you can go back and you can look at the Q&A where I'm going to answer live questions, and the replay will be inside the course. Week three will be the member makeover where I coach women who are struggling with self-love. And then week four is Tribe Success Talks, where we interview women who are doing really well with their weight loss, and self-love was a big key component. So let's talk about the definition of self-worth. Self-worth is defined as a feeling that you are a good person who deserves to be treated with respect. And I wanted to make sure that I mentioned this, because one of the things that we have to be careful about when we're losing weight is we have to know the feeling that's driving our change. So we're wanting to change our body and our habits and our weight.
Change that's rooted in self-love is possible and lasting. When you respect yourself, you will feel deserving. One of the things that's so important is to understand is like when I was losing weight, so often what was happening was I started talking to myself like, you know, I deserve to work hard on my goal. I am worth going through a little discomfort in order to lose my weight. I would think about all the reasons like why I was doing this. It was like, I'm going to be an amazing mom who doesn't pass down the gene of obesity to her son. I just didn't want that for him. So I was really getting rooted in that self-love. When you are trying to lose weight because you are self-loathing, what happens is you create a lot of unnecessary suffering for yourself. And it will backfire often. Like you just can't hate yourself down the scale. When you're disrespecting yourself, it's so much harder to not eat. Like if you're sitting around thinking you'll never lose weight and you're staring at a salad after a long day, you will talk yourself out of that salad more times than not. If you were staring at that salad and you've been telling yourself all day long how proud you are of yourself for keeping on going, you are more likely to choose the salad even if you've had a hard day at work. So I really want you guys to think about, you know, making sure that you are rooted in self-love as you're losing your weight. When you're deciding to be hungry, you're not doing it out of punishment. Like, well, I guess I can't have that. It's one of those things where you say like, you know, I'm just choosing better for myself. That's when you don't have food and you do it from love. When you say, I can't have that, you get angry, and that's rooted in self-loathing. So I want to make sure that when you are sitting around and you're thinking about your change, talk nice to yourself. It is so important. So let's talk about the relationship with ourselves. First, we have to understand that we have a relationship with ourselves. Most of us are going through life thinking about our relationships that we have like outside of ourselves. So we're thinking about our husbands, our kids, our employers. We're looking outside of ourselves for people to give us approval, to tell us we're okay. We're seeking to people please. And what we do is we kind of just forget about us. We forget that the most important relationship in the world will always be the one happening between your own two ears. And so we end up ignoring the one thing that we have total control over, which is our own personal relationship. So the personal relationship is broken down into four key parts. There's the thoughts we think about ourselves. There's the thoughts we have about our actions. That's the way we show up in the world, the things that we're doing or not doing. The thoughts we have about our past and the thoughts we have about our future. So let's talk about the thoughts we have about ourselves. People often think that the relationship we have with ourselves just is, like it just happens, but it's really not true. The relationship that we have with ourselves is simply a collection of thoughts that we've collected all over the years and we've repeated them time and time again. Now, one of the things that I want to point out is that if you've dropped or you have picked up a lot of thoughts along the way that you don't like, it also means that you can drop them. And that's what I mean about sometimes we just think that relationship just is. Like, I just think I'm lazy. I just don't like myself. I've never liked myself. As if that's just, you know, telling us the way it is. It's not. I want you to open up your brain to understanding that you may have like a whole list of things you don't like about yourself. That's okay. They are there because you thought about them over and over again, but it doesn't make them true. Now, some of us, they don't even know who they are. Like we have just, like if I can't tell you how many times I've asked people, like well, tell me who you are. And people just literally have no opinion of themselves. They're like, well, I don't know who I am. Like at best they can say, well, like I'm a mom. And that's really all they have. They don't have like any kind of like, I'm a really good mom. I'm a giving person. Like I give to my kids. Like they don't have a very delicious, luscious, like description of themselves. They just haven't really formed any opinion and they just float through life. Some of us think that our thoughts that we think about ourselves, as I was talking about earlier, are just facts. Like, well, I'm an okay mom. Like, no, I'm not a great mom. Look at her. Like, we go around and we think that some of the things that we think about ourselves are just the way they are. Like, I'm lazy. I'm not good at losing weight. I struggle in social situations. All of those are just thoughts you have about yourself. It is so important for you to hear this. You get to decide whatever you want to think about yourself. There's no rules. Now, it takes time to up-level your thoughts if you've been practicing them for a long time. But here's the thing. Just because you've believed you're unworthy, or you've believed that you're just mediocre, or you haven't really even thought about yourself for most of your life, you're just going to need to be very deliberate and very conscious about changing the conversation. And I really want you guys to understand that, because I think for some of us, we feel kind of hopeless that it can't change. And so what we do is we look for evidence that it can't change. We wake up each day and we go, ugh, when we look in the mirror. Or we pass by a reflection of ourselves and we think, we're never going to lose weight. Guys, seriously, this is just things you think. And when you really start owning the idea that you are in charge of everything that you think, you get to change the conversation. Nobody's opinion is better. No one is allowed to tell you how you think about yourself. You always get to control your own inner dialogue. So let's talk about pictures and selfies. I know this sounds strange to talk about at this point, but it's about the thoughts of ourselves. There's no better way to ever figure out what you think about your body or yourself than to look at a picture. Most of us, when we look at a picture, we are going to go straight to the inner critic. We're not going to be like, oh my God, look how happy I am. Oh my gosh, do you see my children looking at me? They must love me. Most of the time we're just like, ugh, I shouldn't have worn those pants. Ugh, I don't like the way I'm standing. I wish I wasn't even in that picture. We do these things to ourselves all the time. So I really wanted to talk about pictures and selfies because most of us can use them as a way to really understand the relationship we have with ourselves and our body. So when you see pictures, before you even look at it, just be paying attention to what you think automatically. And then decide, is that good enough for me? And understand that pictures are a captured angle of you at any given moment. Sometimes you're going to have flattering angles, and I swear to God, I'm going to tell you, as someone who's photographed all the time with selfies and people, there's some ones where I'm just like, wow, that was an angle. Make sure that when you're watching your thoughts that you catch the negative ones and that you respond in kind. What I like to think about is, when can you be practicing your own self-talk? One of the most easy ways to do it is to look at some pictures, listen for any negative thoughts, and then respond in kind immediately. It allows you to start not only seeing yourself differently, but hearing yourself talk about yourself differently. I just want you to know, you are the person who is in charge of how you see your body, no one else. And you're the most important person's opinion. Everybody's always going to have judgments and opinions about us, how we show up in the world or how we look. But you're the only person's opinion that matters between your own two ears. So make sure that that one is a good one. So next we have thoughts about actions. Your actions are just facts. It's really key to understand how often you are judging how you show up in this world, what we're saying, what you're doing, or what you don't do. A lot of us never we don't even realize that we're constantly judging our own words. Like, I shouldn't have said that. I wish I hadn't have said that. So for instance, when you procrastinate or overeat, you have a thought about it. Like when you binge, you're going to have a thought about your binge. When you say the wrong thing in a meeting, you're going to have a thought about your action. it's really important for you to start deciding how you're going to think and feel about your actions. Are you going to create love for yourself, or are you going to loathe yourself over the way you show up in the world? If I was you, I would just decide on purpose right now, I am going to learn how to have an incredible relationship with myself. Not only in my thoughts about me, but my thoughts about my actions. I just don't want you guys making these judgments about how you show up in the world, the truth of your life. So it's really important that you understand that everything that you've done, everything that you've said, everything that you're going to do in the future are just actions awaiting your interpretation of it. Make sure it's an interpretation that's going to take you closer to your goals and not further away. So then we also have the thoughts about our past. So we've talked about, for self-love, when it comes to self-love, we have the thoughts about ourselves, we have the thoughts about our actions, and now we have thoughts about our past. All of us have a past. We've all done things. We've all had experiences. The problem with most of us is that we never remember that now the past is just a fact. It can't change. It can't hurt us today. It can't do anything. Our past just sits there, no matter what. It literally just sits there. And it's really important that you know the difference between the story you tell about your past and the facts of your past. It's never going to change. The only thing that's going to change is two things. The story you tell about it, which if you don't like the story and it's screwing you up today, it's up to you to uplevel the story. If you don't want to uplevel the story, then you need to just put the past away and just decide, it no longer gets to play a big role in my life today. That's up to you. That is not up to your past. It is not up to the people in your past. It is not up to anything. The amount of time, energy, effort, and oxygen your past gets in your current life now will all depend on you and your ability to either stop thinking about it as soon as it starts up or as fast as you notice you're doing it, or your ability to recreate the story in a way that makes you a stronger, better person today. That is the only two options I want you to ever entertain about your past. So we have thoughts about ourselves, we have thoughts about our actions, we have thoughts about our past, and now we have the thoughts about our future. And how you think about your future is going to develop and determine the quality of life you have and the relationship you have with yourself. We are not defined by all the shit we've done in our past. We like to think we are, but we aren't. When we were raised, we were told that what we were doing is what made us who we are. It's not. It's what we're doing today and where we're going. That's what makes us who we are. Everything in the past is just done. We need to have really good thoughts about our future. So I want you to think about, are you believing in yourself? Are you believing in your future? Is what you're telling yourself today improving the thoughts and feelings you have about your future? If you're scared of your future, ask why. Ask what do you need to stop thinking today and start thinking about your future so that you can look forward to it. What are the small thought changes you can be making? I want you to get into the habit of defining yourself every day on where you're going, not where you've been. So you can always make the relationship with yourself whatever you want it to be. Again, it's because it's all about your thoughts. Your relationship with yourself is just what you think. It's no one else's thoughts, and that's the bottom line. So now I want to talk about self-confidence. A lot of you really struggle with self-confidence, and it was really important for me to put this into this program, because self-love means that now you're going to have some self-confidence. But a lot of us don't really understand what that is. We get confidence and self-confidence mixed up. So most of us think confidence and self-confidence are the exact same thing, but they're not. Confidence is created only from the past. So let's take the example of riding a bicycle. When you first got on the bike, you weren't confident. And after you fell a few times or you got good at riding, then you just started hopping on your bike because you were confident you could do it. You had learned the skill. So confidence comes from doing things over and over again and creating some success. Self-confidence is a belief in yourself. It's very different. Self-confidence is when you believe in yourself before you do something. So I want you to think about how I got started with my weight loss. I was sitting on my couch, desperate and doubtful, right? But I knew that I was going to figure this out. I had the self-confidence to get started. I wasn't confident I would lose the weight. I wasn't confident that I knew how to eat better. I wasn't confident in exercise. None of that had happened. But what I was, I had some self-confidence that I was going to figure it out and I was going to get started. And that's huge. My self-confidence, or your self-confidence, it's created by thinking of who you are now, regardless of your past. If you've ever done this before, doesn't matter how many failed diets you've had. Doesn't matter if you've been overweight all of your life. You think about who you are now. You let all that past shit go. The person you are now is the person who wants their future. They want to be someone who figures this out. And self-confidence is a feeling that you must generate with your thoughts before you're doing it successfully. I think that's the hardest part. Like, we all want to know how, and we want like a guarantee that this is going to work. But this is the deal. Self-confidence is your willingness to know you will figure it out. And that along the way, you are willing to keep going until your confidence is built. So there are three parts to self-confidence. Number one is your willingness to feel all the emotions. Number two is your ability to have your own back. This is where we're going to start getting into talking better about ourselves. And number three is your own ability to manage the thoughts you have about you. So let's first talk about your willingness to feel. You have to be willing to feel any emotion. That means doubt, scared, bullshit, whatever it is. You get to feel happy, you get to feel ecstatic, you also get to feel tempted, you also get to feel urges. You are just willing to feel any emotion in order to figure it out. The thing I want to say about feelings, because so many of you stop dead right here, this is the thing that will stop you. You think feelings are so horrible. Like, we make it up in our mind that something so terrible is going on. I want you to really understand what a feeling is. Feelings are just the vibrations that are felt in your body after a sentence runs through your head. Right now, you're feeling something. You might be feeling intrigued, bored, distracted, or whatever. Just take a second to sit and listen to what you're thinking and how your physical body feels. That's all it is. Even when you're sad, even when you're upset, even in what you would call your worst moments, what's only thing that's happening is you have thoughts running through your head and you have all of these vibrations pulsing through your body. Maybe you're short of breath or you feel your heart quickening, whatever it is. That's the worst of it. That is literally the reason why most of us overeat, overdrink, overspend. We go through our whole life trying to avoid feeling things. And when you get really good at just being able to feel and then decide what you're going to do rather than feeling something and then trying to avoid that feeling, one, you're going to build your own self-confidence and your own self-love. You're going to know you have your own back. And two, you're going to be able to make it through life a lot easier. So self-confidence, what it says, I will do this with any emotion that you give me. So confidence is built over time after you've used your self-confidence to get started. This is so important. I just need you to really understand, you're not gonna get to feel confident the first time you try a new recipe. You don't get to feel confident that you're gonna lose 100 pounds on pound one. You don't get to feel confident that you're gonna end your binge eating after a binge. But your self-confidence is what's gonna have convince you to keep showing up, to keep trying to figure it out. And a little bit later, we're gonna talk more about that. We're gonna talk about what do you do with failure and what that means. So the second part of this is your ability to have your own back. So this is like so key when it comes to self-confidence. You've got to have your own back. And having your own back is really simple. When you do new things, you are refusing to beat yourself up through the process. It's a learning process. You're going to have to agree ahead of time to learn, process, and stay out of your bullshit self-loathing thoughts. And when you have the ability to have your own back, you also understand and remind yourself that the mistakes, that's my chance to build up my self-esteem, not rip it apart and tear it down. Mistakes are part of the process. I say this all the time. If you're unwilling to make mistakes, you're unwilling to lose weight. Weight loss is a process of figuring out what works and what doesn't work for you, what you think and what you want to change about how you think. There's just going to be lots and lots of times where you're needing to redirect, you're needing to learn, you're needing to figure out, you're needing to examine, you're needing to pause. And the more you get to where you can take those mistakes and you can build yourself up through them and you can keep going, the more you can immediately stop every negative thing you say to yourself, no matter how many times it comes back, is the moment that the self-confidence starts building. You start using what we call the conscious grown-up self to take control over your inner critic. That's having your own back. You have this person kind of inside you who's like a kid. They just don't understand. So they're back there whining and saying shit and throwing shade. And then you have the adult part of your brain. That's the one that makes all the decisions. That's the one who actually is wise. Their job is not to beat down the other, it's to tell the other one, hey, let's start talking this way. Hey, let's not say that anymore. Hey, this is how we're going to think. Yeah, it might be exhausting in the beginning. A lot of you complain to me like, oh my God, it's so hard, it's so exhausting. It's like, yeah, but giving yourself a bullshit beatdown time and time again for making small mistakes, that's exhausting too. Most of you tell me you're so tired of being overweight. You're so tired of how you think about yourself. That's exhausting. I will sign up to go to bed tired every day by redirecting my brain to saying amazing things to myself as often as it takes until I actually believe it. So the third part of self-confidence is managing your thoughts about yourself. So managing your thoughts about yourself, I want you to think about this. This is like the pregame self-talk. So before you go into something brand new, like the first time that I went to the gym, y'all, I was 100 pounds overweight. I knew it was going to be a struggle. I think I was wearing my husband's t-shirt because I didn't even have hardly any t-shirts that fit me, and I wanted something baggy, and I had what I called my duty pants on. I didn't even have like something nice to wear to the gym. It didn't even have to be nice. I just didn't even have anything. It looked like pajamas, basically. I'm going to tell you right now, there was a lot of pregame self-talking going on to get my ass out of the car and actually walk in. I just had to tell myself, this is what it's going to take. We're going to do this. Like, we're going in. I didn't sit there and allow myself to, like, make fun of myself. You have to manage your thoughts about yourself. That pregame self-talk before you do something new. Or here's the other side of it. Let's say that you've been overeating every night at 8 o'clock like a religion, and you keep planning your, you know, like, you're not going to eat tonight, you're not going to eat tonight, you don't talk shade and bullshit to yourself before 8 o'clock. You don't start saying how hard it's going to be. You don't start telling yourself it's going to be so tempting that you always have it. You give yourself a real pep talk. Why you're doing this. What you're willing to feel. How you're going to feel in the morning. Why it's worth it. You have to refuse to talk shit ahead of time to yourself. And you have to be willing to be a little nervous and talk nice to yourself. The reason why we're nervous, we're not used to doing it. It's okay. Like, when you're going to do something new, you're not going to feel confident. Remember, confidence is built by successfully doing things. You're going to rely on your self-confidence, and you're going to tell yourself, it's so normal to be scared or nervous right now because this is just new and there's a lot of chemicals running through my body. Like, that is a way better self-talk, pep talk, than some of that bull crap that we say before, like, oh my God, I'm probably going to screw this up. There's no way I'm going to be able to say no tonight. That's some crap. So we have to make sure that we're managing the thoughts we have about ourselves in order to get self-confidence to build. So do you trust yourself? This is a good question. One of the things that I want you to think about is, do I trust myself to have my own back no matter what? Even when my shitty thoughts come racing in, do I trust myself that I'm going to ignore them and move on? If the answer is no, ask yourself, what is it going to take to do it? Drop your expectations that those thoughts have to stop. I want you to be like, I can think negative things about myself and I don't ever have to believe them again. They can come as often as they want, but I am in control of the narrative that stays. And the moment you start being deliberate with how you think, that is the moment self-confidence is going to begin to rise within you. So failure as an asset. This is going to like flip some wigs in the PNP tribe, but this is what we're going to talk about, because I know you girls, y'all don't want to be failures. You don't want to make mistakes. Y'all put so much shit on top of that. It's like, we all have to collectively decide, I'm willing to fuck up as often as it takes to figure this shit out. That's where I was. I knew from the moment I started losing my weight that there was going to be a lot of overeats coming right my way. But I was not quitting. I had the self-confidence to keep going. I had worked on the thoughts about myself. I started saying different things to myself. That's all it takes to change the narrative of failure. So don't rely on confidence. You're not going to be like, here I am, I'm going to do it perfect. If you rely on confidence first, you're only going to be able to do what you've always been good at. This is why so many of you will say like, I don't know why I'm so good at like my job and all this other stuff. I just can't seem to lose any weight. It's because you're relying on confidence. You want to get in there and do it like a player from the get-go. No. What I'm teaching you here is self-confidence. You're going to first rely on yourself to keep getting in there, to mess things up. Like, for all of you who are afraid to write in the planner because it's going to be sloppy, you're going to get in there and you're going to make it sloppy. You're willing to think crazy ass shit around some scribbles and then change the conversation of like, yeah, at least I'm scribbling. That means I'm actually planning. The only way to get good at something is to get in there and figure it out. Not to sit on the sidelines and find the perfect time, the perfect method, the perfect anything. It doesn't exist, so quit looking for it. And when you think it, dismiss it. And so this is the thing that we all have to understand. We were taught in school that to learn by succeeding. And the truth is, we learn by failing. So when we were in school, you know, we would get good grades for tests and stuff. Nobody knew if we were actually studying, if we had the process down. We were just told we were good. One of the things that I love to think about is that I'm going to teach myself as an adult to learn by failing. And it's one of the things that I talk to Logan about all the time. Like, I talk to him constantly about trying things and doing things. And you might not like it, but you'll never know until you get in there. Or try it again. See if you can do it different this time. That is like one of the things that's so important. In school, we just took tests to get good grades. We were succeeding in learning or failing and told something's wrong with us. If everybody just went through life, and when, let's say that we were at school and people watched how we studied and they watched how we learned and they said, oh, this is a process that works for you. Good job. Or, oh, this is a process that doesn't work for you. Let's see if there's another way. We'd all be so much better off. But we're told when we make bad grades that something's wrong with us. That's why we are like we are now. So one of the things that as an adult you have to do, you have to change the definition. The truth is we always learn by failing. And you know how I know this? Nobody gave us a grade for walking. You know how we learned how to walk? We fell down a lot. We didn't have bullshit thoughts about ourselves. Even as babies, we knew that walking was always a process problem. That's how we all ended up learning how. So go back to the way it was always meant to be. It was always meant for you to be able to have some self-confidence that you'll keep going until you're walking like all those big people in the world. So learn by failing. So failure is your opportunity to increase your self-confidence. Because every time you make a mistake, it just means you haven't figured it out yet. Every time you fail, it just means you're still learning. Every time it doesn't go right, it means you're human and you're actually playing the game. You're in the game. Self-confidence means I'm going to keep going until I figure it out. So if you lack self-confidence, you will only learn it by going out and failing. That's just the way it is, guys. You'll only stop if you don't have your own back with your self-talk. I promise you, that's what stops you. If the only thing that's going on is when you make a mistake, if you have nice things to say about yourself, if you encourage yourself to keep going, if you look at the process and pull it apart, you will keep going back for more. But you will erode your self-confidence and you will stop if that every time you make a mistake, every overeat, every time you blow past a two, every time you binge, if it is a problem with you, if you tear yourself down, you will not go back. You will stop yourself from all of your dreams and all of your goals and you will erode your self-confidence. So let's talk a little bit now about confidence. Now that we really understand that self-confidence is what gets us started, let's talk about the build of confidence. One of the common mistakes most of us make when it comes to confidence is that we rely on other people to give us confidence. We put confidence in P&P, Corinne, our husband, what he says about us. Oh, I feel confident that I'm doing well on this because my husband noticed I was losing weight. I can't tell you how many times people have said, I just don't know if I can keep going. No one's noticing I'm losing weight. Like, why do you give a fuck? You notice. That's always a signal to me. You ain't doing your work first. You've got to learn to trust yourself. And you can't learn to trust yourself. And you can't learn how to drive action if you're not relying on you. If you're relying on others, they better all be having a good day. They better all know exactly what to say. They better know what to say exactly when you need it. You have to make sure that you are doing your own work. You have to be telling yourself, every time you succeed, say it out loud, write about it, give yourself some credit. I'm not saying that when other people say nice things that that's not great. I just don't want you relying on it. And the thing about it is that your confidence, it's not going to drive your action. All confidence does is it reminds you that you're learning and you're getting better. Your self-confidence is what drives your action. Your self-confidence is the one that keeps going back, that keeps adding more challenge to things. So you need to believe in your goals, and I want you believing in PNP, and I want you believing in your program, and I want you doing all that. But you have to have that self-confidence in yourself for when people and things are just not enough. You have to be willing to go through all of your failures that none of us can handle or none of us can anticipate for you. This is one of the things I really wanted to like say. I made this program for all of you so that your journey's easier. It was one of my goals when I started helping women is to just make the path a little bit simpler for the next person. I went through my own hard journey. I learned a lot of stuff as I failed. And I've put it all together in PNP and given you a community and given you lots of things to help you and surround you with, you know, good feelings and support and stuff. But here's the deal. You have to have your own hard parts. Not me, not spouses, not mothers, and not your friends. No one can make the journey completely easy for you. You're going to have your own hard moments. All I've done is shorten the path for you a little bit. You're getting a lot of the lessons I learned. But you're going to have your own unique hard parts. And the more you go through all of your own unique hard parts, you're going to build your self-confidence and you're going to lose your weight. And I want you to invite that part in. I don't want you trying to make it all easy, make it all perfect. I want you to be like, you know what? I want a little bit of it to be hard. I want to prove to myself that I can talk to myself different. I want to prove to myself, I want it to be hard so I can make sure I don't quit this time. Like, I want you to invite some of that in rather than dreading it or resisting it. That's the part that teaches you and allows you to feel so good at the end. I mean, I swear, when I look back at my weight loss journey, the things that I remember most are the hard parts, not all the easy moments. I have the pride in all the times that it felt like complete ass, and I learned, and I kept going, and I showed myself that I was made of way more than I had ever given myself credit for at 250 pounds. So are you willing to fail for you and your goals? This is a really important question. You have to be willing to fail for yourself. You have to be willing to make those mistakes for yourself. You have to be willing to quit making all of your failures and all of your mistakes along the way to success mean that you are a problem. Remember, it's all a collection of things that are just processes that have to change. So now we're going to talk about self-doubt. So after confidence, we go into self-doubt. We think things like, oh, I don't know how to do this. Well, I've never done it before, Corinne. I'm just not good enough to get this stuff done. It's harder for me. We have so many noble excuses, and they generate all kinds of self-doubt. And when these thoughts come up, you must be willing to let them go. You have to ask yourself, am I worth letting this go? Am I worth all of this? When these thoughts come up, I want you to find another thought that generates a little self-confidence. So like when you're thinking, I don't know how, then let me go back. When you think, I don't know, just say, if I did know, this would be my best guess. That's a way fucking better thing to think than I don't know. Take some guesses. Again, this is all about how wrong can you be until you get it right. I've never done it before. You need to say, so what? Corinne never done it before either, and she was able to figure it out. So can I. Doing it before is irrelevant because I'm going to do it this time. I'm not good enough. You need to start telling yourself, I'm learning how to like myself. I'm learning how to be good enough. You don't have to keep saying these things. It's harder for me. This is one of the ones that I would never tell myself. I never tell myself this. Guys, I have all kinds of reasons to give you as to why my journey can be so much harder than yours. But you know what? You don't feel bad. Guess who feels bad? Me. It's not worth it. That's the point. So when you think it's harder for me, just say, I can make this as hard or easy as I choose, but it's my choice. This gets you out of self-doubt and allows you to see some possibility for yourself. So now we're going to ban that fat girl thinking, because self-doubt, man, you start doubting yourself, next thing you know, all that fat girl thinking comes racing in. Fat girl thinking is just your inner critic. I've been calling it this for years and years and years. She's the person in your brain that's judging you, doubting you, belittling you. It's that little kid in the back that's scared of change. And over time, if you just let her have control of the conversation, she erodes your self-confidence and she goes unchecked by you. Eventually what happens is you're just letting it run on repeat as if you have no say in it. Don't forget, there's an adult part of your brain and you have it. It's in the front. You decide any thought that stays and any thought that goes. So everything you say to yourself matters. Never, ever think that what you say to yourself doesn't matter. Negative self-talk will never be in your interest. And I just want you guys to just have this kinder, better way to treat yourself. You do not have to have a self-destructive mindset. It is a choice how you think. In any given situation, you get to focus on anything you want. You can be focusing on what you did wrong, or you can focus on what you did well. You can focus on how you can do it better next time. You can focus on just how you would like to feel in this moment. You could also just not berate yourself and just say like, yeah, I'm just going to sit here and feel shitty for a minute before I decide the next thing to think, before I decide the next thing to do. So to change your self-talk, you have to be willing to tell a new story. And you're going to fight it because you don't believe it. Years and years and years of thinking one way is not going to change overnight. So I have some steps to banning your fat girl thinking. The first one is you have to notice when she pops up. You cannot just sit around and let her run around, chattering around in the back of your brain unnoticed. You have to be listening for it. The easiest ways to listen for it is, like I said, pull up a picture, make a mistake, or tell yourself, the next time I make a mistake, I want to listen to what I say to myself first. Or think about a time recently when something didn't go right, write what you think. Your journal entries are going to help you get more and more in touch with it. I like to keep a record of some of the shady things I say to myself so that, because most of us, what we do is we have like a few certain things we have on repeat. So keeping a record of it and actually writing it down helps you see the pattern thoughts that you have. The next thing is you want to separate from your fat girl thinking. And all that means is fat girl thinking is just a collection of the past thinking. That's it. It's not no more special. It's not who you are. It's none of those things. I used to think that's just a thought that I'm thinking. So a lot of times when I have something come into my head, the way I separate is I always tell myself, that's just a thought I'm thinking. It really helps me start transitioning into, that's not who I am. This is just the way I'm thinking. And it feels better than just being like, I must be lazy. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to talk back to her. Talking back to your fat girl thinking is really key in removing that power. So once you've separated from it, you really want to either tell the thought to go away, like, nope, we're not thinking that right now. You're not welcome here. Or you get no choice here today. Like, I like to tell myself stuff like that. I like to say, like, this is not what we're going to think today. We're going to think something better. And then we replace the fat girl thinking. That's when you come up with a new, stronger thought on the other side. So you have to grow that inner voice. You have to grow your best friend voice. And the way you do that is every single time you catch yourself thinking something negative, you do not get frustrated. You just have to notice. You separate from it. That's just what I'm thinking. You tell it to go away, and we're going to think this. Sitting around pissy and angry about it, you might as well just say, like, all right, let's go right back into fat girl thinking. You defeat the purpose and you make it harder on yourself. If every time you try to think nicely of yourself, you whine beforehand, your brain is not going to want to do it. You have to disassociate from that. And let me tell you how this happens, because I really think it helps you unwind fat girl thinking when you understand how the brain works. We all have an automatic filtering system that finds evidence in the world to support every belief we have. So if you think you will always be overweight, or you think you're destined to be fat, every donut, food pusher, and mistake is going to cause you to think, see, I'll be fat forever. Food's everywhere. I don't ever seem to be able to say no. Your filtering system, what you think about yourself, is what you're going to be scanning the world for. The brain goes to work on whatever you think about. If you think you're a loser, you will trip over a corner of a rug and see, I can't even walk across the room. That is the shit that we do to ourselves. We trip over something, and if we think we're not good enough, or we're a loser, or we're, we have a terrible life, tripping over a rug like anybody else would do would cause us to think all those things. We seek evidence for what we continually tell ourselves. You'll fixate and convince yourself that you're right about your misery. We will sit there and try to argue for our pain. I can't tell you how many people come on my coaching calls and be like, no, you don't understand. Let me tell you exactly why I'm so miserable. Like, are you really sitting here telling me you don't want to change how you think about it? Like, people, you will argue for your misery. I want you arguing for your happiness. That's why I want you changing the conversation. So you have to be willing to deliberately break the habit of your current habitual thinking. You have to be on purpose saying new things to yourself, writing new things about your story, writing new things about what you believe in yourself every single day. It's your job to actively search for the evidence to make this true. If you are, let's say, you're trying to lose your weight and you're trying to believe that I am someone who is learning how to lose all of their weight, then every single time you go to the grocery store and see something you like and you don't buy it, you need to see, someone who's losing weight doesn't buy those things. See, someone thinks about food. When I see food and think about it and think, ooh, that looks good, I'm the kind of person who doesn't put it in the basket. You have to be deliberately seeking the evidence for your new story. And I know this sounds like a lot of work on the brain. It is. Your brain's working all the time. Right now, it's just working against you. So we want to consciously work for you. So here are some self-confidence thoughts that I wanted to give you guys. I'm doing this no matter what. The worst that can happen is a feeling. I'm learning how to handle all feelings. I can decide to believe anything I want. This is going to make me stronger. I love that one, especially when you're having urges. When I'm wanting to have the wine, or when I'm wanting to eat off, like the boys are having chips or something and I want it, I just tell myself very often, like, man, saying no right now is just going to make me stronger. It's just going to, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and feel so good about myself. I can decide right now to not have it. That's the power I have. Those are things that we want to be thinking. So you must believe in yourself the most. If you are not doing the job, please don't expect others to step up for you. What this means is that as you're going around, people are going to have a lot of opinions about you. People are going to say things and you're going to internalize them. It's going to be on you to believe in yourself before anybody else does. The chips can be in the house. It doesn't make losing weight harder. You know what chips being in the house means? There's chips in the house. You get to decide what you make that mean. Please don't make it mean your work is harder. Make it mean, this is going to be how I learn how to not have chips. This is going to be a lot of practice. You get to think anything you want. You get to believe in yourself no matter what. No one gets to touch your self-confidence. And if nobody believes in you, you do it. You be your own best cheerleader. In fact, for some of you, it's a good thing no one believes in you because you've got so much work to do, you don't need the distraction of relying on their confidence. You need all the practice you can get. And the last thing I really want to talk about is self-care. I think self-care is one of those things that's so important. And when you've truly developed a relationship with yourself, where you love yourself, you're self-confident, you start talking better about yourself, you're changing that inner dialogue, the last man standing usually is self-care. This is where we're just gonna do something deliberate for ourselves. So self-care is just regular activities we engage in to reduce stress and well-being, or enhance your well-being. The thing I love about self-care that I heard recently was that it happens in the hours. It's not in these big orchestrated events. You don't need girls' trips, and you don't have to go get massages, and you don't have to do all these amazing things. It can happen in the smallest of moments. It can be 3 minutes in the car, laying your head back before you go into the house and are tempted by food. Sometimes it's the planned activities. Self-care is often, like, there's two kinds, your planned activities, and then there are the current ones that you just overlook. So many of us are doing self-care and we don't even give ourselves credit for it. Like, I always like to think that when I'm playing music when I'm working, that's my self-care. When I wash my face at night and I put on some lotion, that's my self-care. I am always looking, like, for the smallest of ways. If I buy my favorite water, that's my self-care. I'm always trying to prove to myself that I'm taking care of myself. It goes back to that self-talk stuff. It's being deliberate about it. It's making a point to yourself that you are caring for yourself. So often we get into this rut of thinking because we don't have long weekends and hours to ourselves without our kids or our jobs or whatever, that somehow we're just stretched too thin. I never feel that way. And it's not because I don't have demands on my time. It's because I really make sure that every little thing I do for myself, I acknowledge it. Down to if I put makeup on for the day, I say, like, yeah, here I am caring for myself. I'm the kind of person that wants to put my makeup on today. Some people don't. Some people skip it. Some people just decide not to do that anymore because they don't like themselves. Not me. I care about myself. It's all in how you look at it. So there's five self-care zones: your mental, your physical, spiritual, social, and emotional. Mental self-care. This is where we are striking the balance between stimulating our mind and then just giving our mind a damn break. Now, I love self-development. I can self-develop all the time, but I always know when I am overloading on podcasts and stuff, sometimes mama just needs to check out. So I have lots of shows that I love to watch. We have certain nights, we just plan 7 o'clock, turn everything off. We're gonna watch the Netflix. Mental self-care is really understanding what you need for your brain. So ideas are reading a book. Some of you love to take classes. I love online classes. I love online classes. Listening to music or a podcast in the car. One of my favorite ways to self-care right now mentally is to go on a walk and listen to some of the classes that I don't have time for during the day. I'm like, but I just want to get out in nature and for 30 minutes. And I have a list of them that are the ones that I plug in play. I keep that as my mental self-care list. For some of us, it's turning off social media at a defined time. Journaling, meditation, and just watching your favorite shows. Your physical self-care is practicing your activities for your physical well-being. And when you do that, you increase your energy and it boosts your self-esteem. Physical self-care has been really huge for me. This is like your health, your nutrition, physical touch, sexual needs, all that kind of stuff. I just know that when I was losing weight, that exercise became one of those things that I felt like was a physical self-care thing for me. It still is to this day. I love taking that time to move my body. I feel like it's one of the most productive times of my day. I feel like it sets myself up for amazing things. So you could try a new workout. You can take an Epsom salt bath or a long shower. Daily lotioning. You know me, I'm a daily self-tanner. Word up, Josie Marin. Food prep, for a lot of you, making your 24-hour plan, drinking your water, that's physical self-care. Dancing when no one or all the people are looking. You know me, I like to dance. Getting extra sleep, like a quick nap. Guys, a 10-minute nap sometimes can do wonders. Going to bed early, sleeping in without guilt, scheduling a booty call. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, I like to schedule my boom boom with my husband. And then throughout the day, I mentally prepare for it. I think loving thoughts about him. I play loving music. It is one of the funnest days of the week. And it's not because of the boom boom. It's all the prep work before. And then next is your spiritual self-care. Dedicating time to spiritual self-care, it can help you find more meaning in your life. You can develop a sense of belonging, and you can find connection to something that's greater than yourself. I've been talking a lot lately about purpose. I think that this falls into spiritual self-care, knowing why you're here. Like writing about, what is my purpose? What makes me unique? What is my role in this world? You can go on a nature walk for spiritual self-care. My son loves connecting with nature. You can attend church, do yoga, volunteer work, prayer, reflection. All of that counts. And then your social self-care. You create a sense of belonging and acceptance. Connection is just a very important part of being part of the human species. Going to a workout class is social. Walking with friends, joining or starting a book club, online or even in person, participating in your P&P groups, going to some meetups, attending one of our events, getting together with your family, or just even finding one accountability partner and you have someone that you check in with each day, that's your social connection. And then last is your emotional self-care. Emotional self-care helps us understand ourselves more. Helps us cope with challenges. It helps us develop and nourish healthy relationships. And here's some examples of emotional self-care. Writing about how you're feeling and what you want to feel for the day. Saying your self-confidence thoughts throughout the day. For me, emotional self-care comes from diffusing essential oils. They uplift my mood. Making a list of things that you normally say yes to and thinking, is there anything on here I can start saying no to and I'm going to practice doing it? Reaching out for help in P&P Tribe. Connecting with friends. Seeing a therapist. All of those are emotional self-care. And this month, you're going to do a lot of emotional self-care because you're going to think better things about yourself. You're also going to do the journal prompts. And that all falls into the realm of emotional self-care. So when it comes to self-care, for those of us who have a hard time doing it, I say start small. Fill your basic needs first. What do you need most? And start there. You don't need to start with hours and hours. Just start really small. The bottom line, that your lack of self-love will be because you have a thought you have not decided to think yet. I want you to think about that. To truly love yourself, it's because there's some thought you're not deciding to think. And your self-love will always be a decision that you make on purpose. Self-love is not accidental. Self-love is cultivated. It is grown. It is something that you consciously choose to do for yourself.
Situated again.
Let's do question and answers. Do we do all the journal prompts every day or do we pick just one? So each day it'll say like day one, it'll have journal prompts. You answer all the questions on day one. And then it'll say day two, there'll be a series of questions. You answer the day two questions. It's a really good one. What if I really don't know what I'm thinking? I ask these questions in the prompts and crickets, my mind is blank. So this is what we do when we do a thought download. You are going to set a timer, especially if you are someone who says, I really don't know what I'm thinking. I just sit there and I go blank. It is because you're not challenging yourself to write. So you put your pen to the paper, you set a timer for 5 minutes, and you write blah, 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 blah until you actually start writing something. You have to train your brain. You could just write, I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know what I'm thinking about this question. If I had to guess, it might be, I'm willing to be wrong at this. That is all you have to do. And if you guys are wondering, the journal prompts, they're in the workbooks. If you go to pnptribe.com, go to the bonus courses, go to the self-love course, you will see there's a workbook there for you to print, and all the journal prompts are in the back. It'll take you through 30 days of self-love. Is there a way to turn off the chat during the class? I am not sure, Patty. I would just ignore it. Don't read it. But this is, like, I always love for you guys to, like, I can turn it off for everyone, but there's a lot of people who have really good conversations over there. And the people who are not on Facebook, this is where they come for their community. So that's why we keep the chat on. What I would suggest to everyone is if the chat is distracting and you don't know how to, somebody said if you go to full screen, the chat is suppressed and you can't see it. So that's one option. The second option is use this as an opportunity to practice focusing when there's distraction. So I love this because we had a camp this year, our opening night. There was a party with karaoke going on next door, and it was a divider wall. And we were trying to do deep thought work and cry. And it was distracting. And I told everyone, this is called life. How often have you overate because you're distracted? These are the opportunities that we want to use, every opportunity in the world that you can find to dial in and focus regardless of what's going on around you. Y'all, it will always pay off in spades with food, because if you start teaching your brain how to focus on what you're doing, then when you're eating, your brain will learn how to focus on what it's doing. It will start making the connections to your body. So, like, the chat is a good example, but think about all the places in life that we're angry that things are distracting, or angry that there's noise, or angry that this is going on, rather than just being like, you know what? That's happening. It's time for me to turn on figuring out how to get the value out of whatever I'm doing. It's that whole, like, looking for the little ways to manage your mind stuff that I love. Can you love your insides while hating your exterior? You can do it. It's just very ineffective. Like, we can do that all we want. We can love who we are and be like, well, I hate my body. And it's like, but hating, like, anytime, I want you guys to think about this. Anytime that you spend in hate is time that you're not thinking about how to be the best version of you. All you're doing is very focused on what you don't like now. It is not an ideas generator. It is not going to help you think about what you need to think about in order to get to the next version. Like, I never think about, like, when I was losing weight, I never thought about how much I hated myself to do things. I always thought about what I wanted for myself. So it's like, what do you want for the outside of your body? If you want it to be smaller, so how do I do that? I do this by nourishing my body. That's a very different road that you'll go down when you think of it that way, versus the road of, like, I hate my body. I wish it didn't look like this. You can't change any of that. You can only change what you're going to be doing going forward. You cannot change the physical body today, but you can change the one that you'll wake up in tomorrow by the little things that you'll do today if you're not focused on the hatred. If you hate your reflection, guys, and you hate yourself in photos, you need to take more pictures and look at yourself more, and you need to consciously and deliberately say different things. It will be the most uncomfortable work you'll ever do on yourself, and it will also be the best work you'll ever do on yourself. The only way to ever see a different version of you, and the only way to experience a different version of you, is to start telling yourself new things. I've really built my self-confidence over the years, and I really do talk kindly to myself. My mom still talks to me like I'm a stupid child and my emotions don't matter. Yeah, because she's your mom. Welcome to having a mother. not all moms, but a lot of our moms, you know what they do? They're in such fear for us that they say things hoping that it'll shock us into reality so that we won't have to go through pain, not realizing that sometimes the stuff they say, we may interpret it painfully. Like, my mom says the craziest bullshit to me all the time. And I'm just like, yeah, that's my mom. I don't have to, like, want that to change. How do I reconcile my own self-love with no longer accepting this behavior from my mother? She's plenty pissed that I'm not letting her bully me into passivity anymore. Let her be angry. Of course she's angry. What do you want her to be? Happy that you're changing the relationship to what you want versus what she wants? No, you're the same way. It's like, she's so wrong. I'm just pissed that she won't just change on a dime for me. Like, she won't, like, let me. She's, like, not wanting to change her ways. You're just like her. You're wanting to bully her into being a version of her that you think is the right one. There is no right version of anyone. There's the version of everyone, and then you got to decide what you want from that. If you don't like the way she talks to you, don't set boundaries because you think she shouldn't say those things. Set boundaries is like, because that's not how I roll. It's a very different mindset. So many of you are going through life and trying to change other people. Like, I want you to think about this. If your mom acted differently, how would you be thinking and feeling? Because that's what you're seeking. You're seeking those thoughts and feelings that you can generate yourself. The challenge for you is to think, if my mom doesn't change and she keeps talking this way and stuff, how can I think and feel differently? How can I be empowered by this versus disempowering myself by pretending that she needs to be someone else, that I'm the righteous one? Like, I'm the one that's right. She should never act like this. There's no perfect moms out there. I let go of the manual I had for my mom a long time ago. I just decided one day, like, my mom says things, and sometimes there are things that I know that I will choose to be angry about, but I'm not going to ask her to change anymore. I'm not going to expect her to change anymore. Sometimes I'm just going to feel angry and be okay with that. And then, but the majority of the time, I reconcile it with, like, my mom is not emotionally mature. That's just the way it is. I'm the one elevated. I'm the one who studies it. I'm the one, like, y'all are in PNP. Like, I'm the one doing the work. I'm the one who is self-confident. I don't need her to change her in order for me to keep all of this for me. And I love the thought of, my mom just isn't as emotionally intelligent as I am. And that's okay. Y'all, I'm going to tell you, 90% of the world is not emotionally intelligent. You need to drop the standard that people need to raise their standards over there. They're not going to. No one's teaching it, pretty much but me and a couple of my friends. How can I interpret and overeat with love that will bring me closer to my goal instead of self-loathing? When I do a worksheet, I'm still judging my actions. So, like, when I have an overeat, like, you know, when I have them all the time, I just always tell myself, what am I going to learn from this? I just don't go into the self-loathing shit. This is what I always tell myself. Self-loathing serves no purpose. There's no way in hell I'm going to end this by doing it this way. I've been trying for years. But you ask yourself, Merle, how many years have you been trying to do it that way? If it hadn't worked, it's just time to retire it. That's what I always say. Like, look, if I've been doing this for like 30 years and it's not working, it's just time to let the thoughts come in and be like, nope. What are we learning from this? Why is this happening for me? Like, why is this happening for me? Every overeat, guys, is the next lesson waiting for you to keep trying new things to unravel it. What feeling was I trying to escape? What is it that I need to learn from this? Am I supposed to wait 5 more minutes to figure out if I can let that feeling pass? Am I supposed to learn, oh, I wasn't really allowing myself to sit and be uncomfortable. I was fighting with it. I was saying, I can't handle this. Of course, like, what I need to tell myself next time, of course I can handle being uncomfortable right now. Of course I'm going to want the cake, and it's going to feel this way in my body, and that's okay. It's just all a bunch of sentences and stuff. That's how you love yourself. You love yourself by not talking down to yourself. And if you catch yourself talking down to yourself, you're willing to stop it. It's just like, you need to imagine that every time you're talking down to yourself, it would be like if you saw your kids hitting each other. Would you be like, well, last man standing is going to win that one? Or do you make them stop? Do you interrupt? Do you change, like, redefine what's going to happen here? We have to do that with our thoughts. We don't just be like, well, because I think it, I must have to believe it. Well, because I'm thinking it, I must be broken. No, you're just thinking it. That's all that's really happening. Get over it and move on and start processing what you need to learn. I just wrote a post about feelings in the Facebook group. It's so uncomfortable that I don't know why I can't sit and wait for it to pass. This is the main reason why I'm almost gained everything back. I don't know how to address this inability to feel my feelings. It's because you're not feeling your feelings. You're fighting your feelings. I'm actually studying feelings right now. Hang on a second. I actually have this right here. Hang on one second. I have a whole section here. How to allow emotion. So this is what we all do. We are either resisting, reacting, avoiding, or we're allowing emotion. Most of us spend an exorbitant amount of time resisting an emotion, saying, let's see, when we resist them, we think that's the same as feeling, but what it does is how we know we're resisting a feeling is because we're not getting any relief. When we're resisting, it's almost like it feels worse. It's because we're thinking things like usually if I'm resisting an emotion, I'm telling myself, I don't want to feel this. I hope this passes soon. When will this be over? That's not feeling it. That's dwelling and resisting it, feeling like it shouldn't be there. Then we go into reaction. Reactionary feeling of emotions is essentially when we are yelling, screaming, when we're yelling or screaming, or we're doing things. That happens a lot when we're angry. So a lot of times, like, I'm a reactionary person to some of my feelings. Like, when I'm angry, I yell, I scream, I say things that I know I shouldn't say. I try to get a rouse out of people. Like, those are the things I do. Avoiding emotion is what most of us do. We sit with it for a hot second. We start resisting it. And then the next thing we know, we go straight for the food because we don't want to feel it. So that is avoiding an emotion. So the thing that you want to do is you want to learn how to allow it. And basically, how to allow an emotion is, guys, you're going to have to do this work. If you are sick and fucking tired of sitting around fighting with your emotions and then overeating and avoiding your emotions, you're going to have to do your homework. It's going to be like if I said, hey, we're all going to learn how to do really complicated algebra. You're not just going to sit there for a few minutes and look at a math book and be like, oh, look, it's a math book. Well, I tried that. It didn't work. No, you're going to have assignments. You're going to sit and you're going to read. No, this is not a book you guys can read. This is actually some of my coaching tools that I sell. I study my own tools that are for me as a coach so that I can explain things better for you guys. I've been doing a lot of research on feelings this week. So anyway, the allowing of the emotion is literally where you sit and you think about it. So the easiest way to do it is you get a piece of paper and you write down the feeling that is so intolerable right now. You think about, what is it that I'm feeling and what is it that I need to process? And then what you do is you ask yourself, where is it in my body? Now, I know you came to camp, so this is the camp exercise where you sit and you close your eyes. And I would go for 2 to 3 minutes of examining your body. Where am I feeling it inside of my body? What are the physical sensations that are going on? Make yourself stay in your body and out of your thoughts. What happens is when you start resisting is that when you think you're feeling something, when you're thinking all the thoughts creating the feeling and you want the thoughts to go away and you're like, it's because I keep thinking this and I don't want to think that and blah, blah, blah. That is not feeling an emotion. Feeling an emotion is allowing it to go through your body and feel it hardcore. Once you get really good at doing that, you start understanding with feelings, guys, that that's all that ever happens. And I want all of us to understand this. There's no feelings that hurt us. What happens is we think a sentence, we feel something. That's literally what's happening. So if you're thinking terrible thoughts about yourself, I'm such a failure, I'll never get married, my life's over, everyone hates me, I was abused, no one should have ever treated me that way. All of that thinking causes feelings. And all feelings do is they release chemicals that vibrate within your body. So sometimes they increase your heart rate. Sometimes your breathing is shallow. You feel flushed. You have a racing heart. That's feelings. And if you get to where you can do that part, then you start processing feelings. You're not as afraid to feel them. You'll start choosing them because you'll notice you don't want to choose your self-destructive behaviors anymore because they have such an expensive emotional price later. We get into the self-loathing because of how we reacted because we were resisting an emotion. So we have to work through it. But the best way to do it is like, be very specific. Write about the feeling. Write about how it's in your body. Write about the sentences that's causing this feeling. When you do that, what happens, guys, is that you rise above the experience of it and you're watching yourself experience it now. And that is where all the power comes back for you. So it's like when you feel things, you want to think, all right, my mentor calls it being the watcher of our experience. So most of us, what we're doing is we're just in the experience. I'm just like, oh my God, it's fucking cake. And I had a terrible day and my kids are screaming and blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I can handle this. Here I am sitting with an emotion. I just wish it would go away. The cake still looks really good. Like that is not experiencing a feeling. That's called spiraling out of control. That's resisting feeling right now, sad, stressed, uncomfortable, urgy, whatever the feeling is that you're feeling most in that moment. Usually what happens is it starts with an urge to eat because you were stressed and you didn't manage this. You didn't feel the stress earlier in the day. You resisted the stress or you reacted to the stress by doing more things. It's like, I'm so stressed. And then the next thing you know, you're adding extra things onto your plate, wondering why you're still so stressed rather than just being like, I need to take a break. Like I need to sit here for a minute. I need to organize and I need to think about what I'm stressed about. Calm myself down with my own thoughts. Like that's way more effective than just, well, let me just keep hustling through it. Let me just try to do more. Let me just get to the next thing on my list. And then we go home and we're tapped. So we're already emotionally drained. We see the cake. The next thing we do is we're feeling urges. And when we feel the urges, we start noticing everything going on around us. We start craving, wanting the relief. We start craving, wanting to feel better. When in that moment, what we need to do is like, we need to feel the urge. Because then once the urge passes, then we can ask ourselves, so what do we really want right now? If we actually want relief, let me give myself relief from the urge. So then I can give myself a moment of peace, even if it's 2 minutes. That's how you start feeling feelings. So you sit with it and you write about it and you think about the thoughts causing it and you watch yourself having the experience and what's driving the experience rather than just being like caught up in the cycle of the experience. How do you suggest getting in touch with what, and besides, I saw your comment, Amaka, you just do some feeling work right now. Like I would get off this call, I grab a piece of paper and I would start feeling some fucking feelings right now and just do it. Don't sit there and be like, well, I just don't want to. Like, no, you're never going to want to. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, no one's ever going to want to just feel food urges and no one's ever going to want to just feel sad because they've been beating themselves up and no one's ever going to want to feel disappointed because they failed at something. Until you actually want to do that so that you can start getting the goals in your life. Your unwillingness to do all that is what's preventing you from moving forward and achieving things in your life. You're staying stuck in the life you have because you just keep acting the same way rather than learning how to have the balance of emotions. Like the only way to be amazed about, like I think about my weight loss, you know, like one of the things that I was just amazed at myself at the end. The reason why I was able to feel so amazed with myself was because of all the time that I wasn't happy with myself. I was really disappointed in how I was showing up for me. I was really sad about the life I was creating for me. That is why when I started doing the work and like going through being uncomfortable and figuring things out and being willing to fail and trying to build my self-confidence when I was full of self-doubt, I was amazed at myself. I would never have felt amazement had I just dieted, like keeping all that shit. Like, I hate myself. I hate myself. I better just starve myself. I better do this. I sure hope that I'm amazed with myself at the end. No, I would have been scared to death that I couldn't keep up with all that. So that's how you change things. How do you suggest getting in touch with what I believe about myself? I struggle with the I don't know thought. I would just write like, say, so sometimes I think I don't know, but here are some of the things I'm willing to believe, I'd like to believe, I might believe one day. Here's some things that might be fun to believe about myself. Like, write about that first. And then when you do that a few times, start saying, like, okay, is any of this true? Is any little small piece of it true? Could any of this be true with practice? Do it like that. What about the self-talk you hear that you know is from a person you felt was important in your past? I keep working harder and faster to get in front of these people's voices. You don't need to get in front of their voices. You need to just let their voices go. But burning myself out in the process, that's the problem. I know what I can do, but the historic critic keeps rearing up. How do I shut them down or shut them up? You don't need to shut them down and shut them up. Here's the thing. You need to quit giving them the power. Like, people told me I was going to be fat all my life. They were wrong. Like that, like literally when it comes up, just say those people were wrong. Those things were said to me. But what do I want to believe today? Like that, what did you call it? I keep working. I know what to do. The historic critics. Yeah. You have a key here. They're called history. The history has nothing to do with today. You're the one who's now the critic. You don't need to get out in front of their opinion. You need to figure out what is my opinion. You're so worried about their historic opinion that you've failed to realize, oh, my opinion is the one that we're going to be operating on. And right now, I'm just deciding their opinion is the one we act from today. If you don't like their opinion, then quit using it today to see what's going to happen tomorrow. How can you tell if talking back to fat girl thinking is not resisting or fighting with her? I think I just covered that. It's essentially the idea of you should feel relief. If you're fighting with her, it will amp up. It will feel worse. It will feel very hard. Like allowing it is different. It's like duly noted. Like I understand I'm going to think these things. I know that for a while, these are the thoughts that are going to keep coming. I'm choosing not to believe them anymore. And I'm choosing not to like hate on them. And I'm choosing not to make them a part of my success story. Like guys, I'm going to just tell you, your fat girl thinking is going to be a critical piece of your success story. You might as well let it come along for the ride. This is going to be the stuff that you learn to overcome. You're going to overcome so many things in your life. The one thing I know we can all overcome is our own thoughts. We have total control over that. You might not be able to overcome like cancer necessarily. There's things that are going to happen in our life that we don't have all the control over. But the way we think about ourselves, that's the one thing we have all the control over. Can you tell us more about finding our purpose? This course is amazing. Yeah, I like to just think about, like, I ask myself regularly. Like, guys, I think you all think I'm just dialed in my purpose. I am dialed in my purpose now. But it's because for 14 years, my purpose has been changing. Because I ask myself all the time, like I like to ask myself weekly and monthly, why is all this matter? Why am I here? I ask myself these questions all the time and write about them. I think about these things. I listen to podcasts that challenge me to think about, like, what is this all for? What is important in life? And when I do that, I come up with lots of ideas around it. I'm just always open to it being a different, you know? I mean, it's fine. It's the more you think about it, though, the more you know you're going in the right direction. Your lack of self-love will be because you have thought a thought. You have a thought that you have not decided to think yet. What does that exactly mean? So when you don't love yourself, you have some thoughts, like if you think every day, I am so fat, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to lose weight. Your self-love is relying on you to decide, I no longer think and believe that. So when that thought comes in, are you actively saying, you know what, and that is nothing, that is not what I believe anymore. Here's what I do believe now, that I'm working on myself and I deserve the work that I'm willing to do for myself. Like I deserve all the happiness that I am going to create for me. Like if you're not having that conversation, then you are not deciding to not think that anymore. And it means that like every time you have a shady thought, like if you're sick and tired of feeling fucking bad about yourself, then get off your ass and do some work. Do not sit there and whine. When you're whining, that's saying like, I just want to stay stuck in my own bullshit right now. I'm just going to stay stuck in it. At least tell yourself the truth. Do not lie to yourself that you want better for yourself if you're not even allowing yourself to say something different every single time it happens. So many of you are lying to yourself. You're creating the habit of lying to yourself by saying, I want it so bad, but I'm going to sit here and be frustrated that I'm still thinking this. This is so pointless and useless. Just be honest. So like, I'm still thinking this and I'm too fucking lazy to change the conversation. Be in that space. That will help you way more than sitting there and whining that you want it and pretending you're confused why it keeps happening or that you're the victim of your past. That, my friends, does nothing for you. Sitting around and being like, telling yourself some cold hard truth. You know why it's not happening for me right now? Because I refuse to have a thought that I don't even believe yet consciously and on purpose and exhaustingly until it changes. That is why I'm not changing. I really want to work on my social self-care, especially my relationship with my husband, just speaking generically. Could you list the things you do to generate positive feelings of love and connectedness on your scheduled days? It's a lot. It's a lot of thinking things like I'll think about fun times we've had in the past. There's nothing I love more than like remember and recount the first time that like Chris and I went out, or the time that when he told me that he wanted to be with me. I think about vacations that we've taken and just conversations that we've had, or I'll think about our next date night and just like, I will picture in my brain him looking at me and just things like that. Like I come up with whether any of it's, you know, like the exact way it happened. I'm just always very creative about thinking about him in very loving ways. I talk about him very lovingly. When I am with friends and stuff, I constantly talk about how amazing he is. I spend time like just being delighted by him, if that makes sense. So much of the work that I do on Chris when it comes to my husband, like it is because, and I want y'all to really hear me when I say this, because I think this is so key. Like I really love him. Like there is no one in the world I love more. And it is not because he's amazing. Although I tell myself he's amazing all the time. I know in my heart, the reason why our marriage is so strong is because I take the time to delight in him. I do not spend time being negative about him. I did like, even when the other day there was something that was happening and it was so disappointed and I was so angry with him. And I immediately started, it's in my journal. I started immediately writing about it. And questioning myself and saying like, is this what I want for my marriage? Is this how I want to be thinking about my husband? Is there another story I could be telling myself right now? This is the man I love. What is the story supposed to be? Like I do that work. And I know that is why our marriage is so strong. It's because I spend like on my side of the relationship, I spend 150% of my effort creating the relationship that I want. I'd never rely on him to be perfect. He is anything but. There are plenty of times I don't like the way that he is, or I don't, there's like times where, you know, I think he should be acting a different way, or like there's all kinds of stuff that goes on. You know, I don't always have amazing thoughts about him, but what I do is I don't allow them to stick around. I always change the conversation in my own head. And that's and I learned that because I started learning. I did that in my own self. I did that work on me. I'm going to tell you, when we were first married, it was not like this. We've always been friends. We've always like gotten along and been in love. But I'm going to tell you right now, our love has grown to the nth level because over the years, I have practiced how I want to love him and how I want to be as a wife and how I want to think of him. That's work. If we wanted to have problems in our relationship, trust me, there's plenty of them. I just don't dwell on them. I don't find it a constructive use of my time on this earth to the person that I have decided to be with for the rest of my life. Like, I'm just not going to waste my time on that. And so that's the way I do it. And so it's like, you know, I'm not always like thrilled to be having sex, but I never think about it as like, I just always think about it as like, you know what? We're doing this because it's so important to the fabric of our relationship. This is the same thing with yourself. Like when you think about self-care for you, it is so important to the fabric of the relationship with you. Like with the way I talk about my relationship with Chris, all of you should be talking about your willingness to think and feel and be deliberate and on purpose, creating that same relationship with yourself. Like if you're not, that's the problem. That is always the problem. Why are you choosing not to? Just get over whatever that reason is. Like write it down one time and be like, fucking done with that reason. This reason got all the oxygen it gets from now on. Now on, like I'm working on a relationship with myself. I am focused and determined to change the relationship I have with me right now. And you got to be in that space all the time. And you got to catch bullshit when you're not treating yourself well. When you're having false expectations of yourself. When you don't want to show up for you. You need to always be like, I am valuable and worthy. And I am the only one that needs to treat myself that way. Everybody else in the world, they can treat me however they want. But me, it all begins and ends right here. You focus so much on that relationship, guys. I promise you every other relationship in your life will change. It will be different. All the things that you sit around and think mean something about you, will, like the inner critic or the historic critic and stuff, all that stuff doesn't matter when you truly work on you. You don't have time for those thoughts when you're working on you. Do I have to learn how to love my past self? I can look at current pictures and have positive self-talk and encouraging dialogue, but I really struggle looking at older photos and loving that me. Yeah, you need to. She's you. Why would you choose to hate half of you? That is what you're doing. I look at the old pictures of me and I don't sit there going like, she was a mess. I hate her. I wish she had never happened. You know why? Because without her, I wouldn't be who I am today. Guys, if you've lost your weight, the overweight version of you, she set you up for today's success. You wouldn't be here without her. There's so much like weight loss. Like I always think about all the things that weight loss has taught me about life, about how I love other people, about how I like learned how to do hard things so I can teach my son how to do hard things. Like I think about all that stuff. I would never hate that person. Plus, you don't have time to hate on anything, much less a version of you. Do you have suggestions on moving from autopilot to awareness? I tend to wake up when I'm in the middle of a foggy and feel disappointed that I didn't become aware sooner. Quit being disappointed and start being excited that you woke up halfway through and write about what was happening so that you can start learning from it. Skip the disappointment stage. My mom keeps mentioning she expects me to take care of her as she ages, as she does nothing to proactively care for herself. Welcome to my mother. Rebecca, we must share her. It would be cheaper. It brings up a lot of bullshit for me. I'm looking for good thoughts or even neutral. I would just say, like, that's her expectation. I'll decide when she gets older what's going to happen, but there's nothing wrong with letting her live in that expectation. Seriously, that's what I tell like myself about my mom all the time. Like my mom the other day literally asked me, when am I going to pay off her house? Her house. I looked at her and I said, I'll tell you when I'll do it. When I pay off my kid. I said, I got one kid. I was like, raise yourself. And I just laughed and she laughed. She said, no, but seriously. And I thought, that was her serious ass expectation. And I just thought, it's just my mom. Like, she's always had it rough. I could see why my mom barely was able to take care of herself. Somehow she figured out how to take care of us. I totally see why she would have that expectation. That's what I just tell myself. I'm like, whether I act on it or not, it's up to me. But I can see why she has that expectation and I don't have to be angry about it. I can just be understanding as to why. I'm so excited about my future self talking to my fat girl thinking. I'm writing tons of recovery worksheets because I eat off plan to 3 to 4 for dinner mostly. Should I add more to my dinner plan each day? I would add more, but I would rather than adding more to compensate, I would work on just being more conscious about stopping. Love yourself enough to say, I'm going to stop at a 2. I'm going to love myself enough today to stop at my 2 and wait 30 minutes. And then see what the version of me 30 minutes later wants to do. Sometimes guys, like what it takes is it just takes putting a little space and time between the version of you who's in the moment wanting it and wanting to tune out. Give yourself some conscious time so that the goal version of you, the re-engaged version of you, can make the decision. Sometimes you may still continue to eat, But very often you have enough time in that during there for your stomach to catch up, your hormones to catch up, and your thoughts and your feelings of where you want to go in life catch up. That's it, guys. That was all the self-love questions that we had. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I love this course. I highly recommend you going through it. Like, guys, I would love to see you do all of the journaling. If you want to post some of it inside of the tribe in the Facebook group so that you guys can share things that you're learning about yourselves, that would be awesome. If you have one and it brings up some stuff for you and you're like curious about it and you want someone to help you with it, you can bring it to next week's Q&A with me, or you can post it and ask coaches. So if you're watching this replay 2 years after we do the course, you can always take it to wherever the coaches are and you can talk to them about, like, this is what I found out. What do I need to do next? Y'all have a good night. Bye, y'all.